Hello and welcome to the Software Stories podcast from Venturi's Voice. I'm your host Liam Donoghue. In this show, I'll be chatting to software experts from all sectors about their careers in tech. The show aims to bring you insights, anecdotes and stories from like-minded professionals that you can learn from and apply to your own careers. If you like the show and you want to hear more from us, you can follow us on SoundCloud, iTunes or Spotify, or you can join our Slack community. Thank you, enjoy the show. Hey, how's it going? You're tuned in to another episode of Venturi's Voice. Today, we're going to be talking to Richard Ellis, the Head of Digital Retail at Answer Digital Limited. Morning, Richard. Welcome to the show.
Morning, Liam. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great having you on. We've got a lot to cover today. But before we begin, could you give me and the audience a bit of background about yourself and tell us about your career journey up to today?
Sure. So I've been working with Answer Digital for the last just shy of 10 years. My background is as an Agile Project Manager, come Scrum Master, working in an array of industries, multiple sectors, but in recent years really helping businesses in the retail sector deliver Agile change projects and programs, latterly more scaled initiatives. Very passionate about all things Agile. Really pleased to be able to do this morning.
Yeah, sounds great. I'm really excited too. Agile is something I like to talk about, and so digital transformation. So I think it's going to be a really, really good show. Can you tell us a bit more about sort of Answer Digital's service offering? What does your company do to help businesses?
Sure. So Answer is shortly going to be 20 years old. We're very much a growing business. We're going to be roughly 80 people at the end of the year. We work with businesses in four primary sectors. That's retail, healthcare, in wealth management space and finance, and the payments sector. Our heritage is in building bespoke software solutions for businesses or organisations in those sectors. More latterly, in recent years, we've really extended our proposition to help companies through business consultancy and change programmes, through starting to extend to customer experience or experience design through customer experience and user experience, extending our technical heritage into the DevOps space and also out into test automation. So we describe ourselves as an end-to-end digital consultancy.
That sounds great. Obviously, digital transformation is something we're going to chat a bit about now. Can't remember the name of the guest, but a previous podcast guest of ours said that in the 21st century, a company's digital strategy is its business strategy, and that any company that has both is doing something wrong. I mean, maybe a bit of a strong opinion, but what's your take on that?
I do absolutely adhere to the notion that businesses increasingly becoming digital first businesses, and consequently digital strategy has become has certainly gained parity in organizational or with organizational strategy. I think when we talk to businesses, one of the things that we come back to time and time again is that a good digital strategy is really the alignment of an organizational strategy with a proven customer need. A little bit wordy maybe, but what that really means is, you know, how are you tuning in to the needs of your customers and how are you structuring your organization in order to deliver digital products and services which add value to them. That's really where I see digital strategy not only getting parity, but probably superseding org strategy.
Mm-hmm. So I suppose a nice question to follow on from that would be to ask how much of a company's digital transformation is actually changing culture and processes in the office as opposed to changing maybe the tech stack they're using?
I think it's massive. I think arguably it's more important. I think as digital transformation, as ubiquitous a term as it is, it's become more mainstream. I think the relative hygiene factors of things like the technical prerequisites to delivering digital transformation, they're now pretty well adopted. I think the bigger challenges are absolutely in organizational structure in order to enable, you know, this can no longer be about top-down mandate of what businesses should be doing. It's got to be about, you know, decentralization of team, collective ownership. That in itself brings big challenges from an organizational structure perspective. We work with lots of organizations who are still fairly traditionally siloed. Clearly, there are big barriers to true kind of agile and organizational agile adoption to businesses like those. Culturally, I think, you know, that's massive for me. People are at the very essence of agile and digital transformation. You know, the adoption of an agile mindset, the adoption of transparency and communication and collaboration, that's really at the nub of really good, successful digital transformations.
You mentioned something there that I found really interesting, was about breaking down silos and producing sort of like an agile sort of working environment. I always sort of see agile as something that can only really be applied to technical teams. It's something that we've done in our office. I work as part of a recruitment consultancy, and our consultants now adopt Scrum methodologies. Do you think agile is something that can be extended beyond the technical teams and is some sort of a methodology that companies as a whole can adopt?
100%. You know, even recently, I had conversations with people about the emergence of concepts of agile HR, agile marketing, agile finance. I think the days where people view agile and agile adoption as the domain of a siloed IT department are certainly not behind us, but we're certainly on the path to people understanding that there is a much broader application of agile. And that's, you know, that comes back to the extent to which, you know, this is about mindset. It's about, process adoption. I don't want to get hung up on process necessarily, but this is around, delivering value to a proven customer need incrementally, testing it. It doesn't matter what that customer is. It doesn't matter what the value you're delivering is. It doesn't need to be working software. It's the concept of value, a customer, and understanding why you're doing something. So yeah, I think it's absolutely extensible. I think equally, I've worked with startup businesses recently who are absolutely looking at an agile first structure. So one in particular, a challenger bank that we've been doing some work with, is actually structuring their organization into pods and squads, which is highly innovative within the context of some of, the much more traditional businesses that I've worked with in the past. So I think there is definitely a trend of more traditional organizational structures are going to be challenged.
Cool. Yeah, I think I'm going to play devil's advocate with this next question. You've just spoke there about the benefits of agile. I might get a one-word answer in response to this, but can you still see any benefits to waterfall methodologies, or is there a way that companies can work in waterfall, or do you think that is just as a sort of like a methodology that should be put out to pasture?
Yes. let me qualify that. Yes, absolutely. It has its time and its place. I'm not... Whilst I'm a huge advocate of all things agile, my background going back many, many years was as a business analyst and a project manager in a huge banking organization. And it was very, very clear even then that, it was going to be very, very difficult to try and, jump the chasm of moving away from waterfall into agile. Now, one of the reasons being was one of the proponents for remaining in a waterfall environment, and I've seen it subsequently, is, when you have very stable, very static environments where change is relatively unlikely, then absolutely, invest the time in defining requirements, defining designs, technical proof of concepts, what have you, to then run into a build phase. But the window of opportunity for doing that, I would suggest, is closing, because, the world in which we live is becoming, much more changeable. Businesses are being challenged with being flexible. They're challenged with being adaptable. They're being challenged with, responding to changing customer needs, incredibly frequently. And in that instance, waterfall really isn't suited.
Mm-hmm. So as the head of digital retail, what common problems do you see retail companies facing when they're trying to undertake a digital transformation? And what steps do you advise these companies to take to overcome them issues?
I think in terms of some of the challenges that we see, I think we've discussed some of them already in organizational structure. I think one of the things that I do see, and we've touched on both digital transformation and agile transformation, I think these are increasingly ubiquitous terms. And, I think if you asked a panel of people what they actually meant, I think you'd get a number of different answers. That's not necessarily a bad thing. What I do, however, think that represents somewhat of a barrier to entry. I think I did read recently a fantastic phrase, which was, businesses start on this journey with ideological delusion. So sponsorship, exec in businesses will aspire to become agile because they want to deliver change more frequently. That means by putting sprints in place. That means by having daily stand-ups. That means by going documentation light. Now, I often see that manifest as partial implementation of agile principles simply because of a lack of thorough understanding of what it means. And that partial implementation, often I see kind of failure in failure. You know, there is one of the key agile principles is that we embrace change, we embrace failure, we learn from it, and we adapt. Where businesses don't necessarily have, a good comprehensive background understanding, when the wheels do start to come off, which with partial implementations invariably happens, then they don't necessarily understand how to rudder the ship to get themselves, back to a stable and progressive state. I think, another thing, I recognize organizations, the technical practicalities are sometimes, even though I said earlier in the podcast that they're kind of hygiene factors now, I still think there are organizations out there that look at the ceremonies and the sessions and the cultural aspect of Agile without actually having taken the time to invest in things like build pipeline and automation in test and path to live, because you can put all the Agile ceremonies that you want in place, but without the infrastructure that underpins that, then you're never going to get more frequent releases. You're never going to be more confident in what you're releasing. You're never going to be more adaptable. So I think there are a number of challenges, no question.
So the last thing I sort of want to ask you about digital transformation before I get into Agile proper, if you're working with a client and you find yourself at loggerheads with them over implementing a specific tech or their overall digital strategy, for example, how do you mediate that situation and bring it to a positive conclusion?
I think there are a number of environmental factors you've got to consider. I think it's very difficult to be able to, and certainly we would never advocate an approach which is, your tech stack is wrong, we suggest you go with this tech stack because we say you should go with this tech stack. You've got to consider, environmental, legacy technology, customer need. I think one of the key things is, and kind of really to tie into the last question as well, we'd certainly try and look at what's the outcome that you're looking to achieve. So let's stop thinking about kind of project initiatives. Let's think more about outcomes. Let's think about, is a technology choice better suited to delivering value to a customer than another technology choice? So really, look at the outcome and then start to work backwards towards, well, what is the technological solution that meets that outcome? At the same time, really tying into the last question, where companies are faced with dilemmas, such as we're hitting barriers in digital transformation, we're hitting barriers in, digital transformation because of the technologies that we use, then I would always recommend that people start small. Start small, learn from the work that you're doing. You're never going to implement an organizational digital transformation overnight. Simply isn't going to happen. So how do you identify the areas of opportunity that you think you can demonstrate or at least test that the path that you're choosing for a digital transformation is working for you? And if it's not, making sure that you're mitigating the amount of time and money that you're investing before testing and potentially pivoting your approach.
Ace. So we've done a lot of podcasts in the past on digital transformation, and it seems you can't talk about transformation without also chatting about agile methodologies. It seems to me, just through the sheer amount of shows we've done, that they're inexplicably linked and they're always going to be linked. Why is that?
I think primarily, you've got to look at what was the starting point of Agile. The starting point of Agile was a group of developers or a group of technical people who came together to look at how they could deliver, digital change more efficiently. How could they tune into a customer? How could they find a better way of working that, that improved communication between the team? How could they start to look at, multidisciplinary facets to single and small teams? And that in itself, when you consider, that in conjunction with the way that industry and the market's changed and public, demand for digital services, the two things kind of go hand in hand. You've got the explosion of digital products and service in both B2B or business to business and business to consumer world. The way that organizations are engaging with their customers is profoundly different now to even as it was 5-10 years ago. And consequently, people are looking at, how do we more efficiently tune ourselves to be able to deliver to the changing, economic, digital, environmental demands that are placed on our organization? So I think the two are completely inherently coupled.
And obviously, agile has become a ubiquitous term now. And obviously, we've been chatting about it for the past 17 minutes. But for those listening who, believe it or not, might not know what agile is, could you, you know, boil it down to what, you know, what is the essence of agile?
For me, agile, the very essence of agile is around focusing on value, customer, understanding the why of what you're doing it and delivering it incrementally and efficiently. You know, there is a measure of agile of old that is, you know, working software cites the productivity of a team. Absolutely agree with that. I think agile is about being flexible. It's about being adaptable. It's about accepting change. It's about building culture and team with collective ownership and empowerment that you can deliver products and services to market as quickly as you can. You can test those as quickly as you can.
So why do some organizations struggle to adopt agile? You know, are there any barriers to entry? And what are the things which organizations need to focus on in order to maximize the chances of a successful adoption?
I touched earlier on some legacy challenges that businesses face that might be in systems or governance, process, people, mindset, could be, you know, a multitude of different things, and all of which, when looked at, you know, they compound to become, you know, significant barriers to entry. I think I mentioned earlier around starting small. I think advocacy in businesses is very important. If you can implement a level of change that inherits advocacy and the people that have been through that change become advocates in an organization, then you are more easily able to, you know, extend adoption or I guess mitigate the barriers to adoption throughout organizations. I think understanding and education is important, and I think that's at all levels of organization. I think teams that are looking to transition into agile ways of working certainly need sponsorship and empowerment from their senior leadership teams. I think that can be a challenge for senior leadership teams, because to avoid partial agile implementations that we discussed earlier, there does need to be a degree of, you know, management and empowerment of people that in itself, you know, goes against the grain of traditional senior leadership. So I think, you know, that can be a challenge. I think accepting that you're not going to get it right first time is a big thing for businesses to get over. I've worked through a huge number of agile change programs, from small scrum projects all the way up to organizational transformations. And through every project or change initiative that I've been involved in, we've always got things wrong. We're a product of our environment, of the business that we're working with. And consequently, it takes some time to tune into what works for us, what works for the people in the team, what works for, you know, the organization, and how that team exists within the organization. And embrace that you're going to have to change, and that you will get a great outcome, but you're not going to hit it first time.
Have you seen cases where companies have sort of latched onto like an agile digital transformation in the belief that it's going to solve all their problems, and that's just not the case?
Yes, frequently. And I think, you know, we talked a couple of times about partial adoption and education. I think it does come back to that. The one thing that agile is not is a silver bullet. We've mentioned that agile is a ubiquitous term, and it's very much an umbrella term. I think the adoption of things like a stand-up and a retrospective and sprint planning, they sound simple, but actually, you know, agile doesn't mean a lack of documentation. It doesn't mean a lack of governance. It doesn't mean, if anything, it means more control. And I think these are things that are sometimes overlooked by businesses that are trying to adopt it. And consequently, they don't necessarily understand or they're not able to early enough identify the fact that challenges are coming around the corner.
Yeah, interesting. I want to talk a little bit about the LinkedIn article you recently wrote. I saw it the other week when I was just doing a bit of research. So it's about the discovery phase of an agile project initiation. We'll link to the article in the show notes for the listeners so you can read through it at your own leisure. But can you tell us why the discovery phase is so important and some of the pitfalls teams can stumble into during this phase of a project initiation?
Sure. So in any engagement or in any project initiation, we will do a discovery phase. And a discovery phase, not two discovery phases need necessarily to be the same, but what they need to do is set the scope, the governance, the commercial, the technical foundations for delivering successful projects. A discovery phase is a time box piece of activity, typically between 2 and 4 weeks, in which a small team, a project manager, becomes scrum master, a technical lead or technical authority, UX capability or UX experience designers and testers, working in conjunction with a product owner, ideally, will start to shape what a change initiative, what the project or a change initiative looks like. The big challenge with discovery phases is you are tasked with, or we task ourselves with, ultimately getting to a plan that we have a level of confidence in, that we have a solution design that reflects the implementation of requirements that are pretty robust, and that we can offer a timescale that's going to take to deliver. And so the big challenge for a team is when to stop. You know, there is a natural propensity for people to want to go through the eye of a needle and to get to fine-grained granular detail. That's not the purpose of a discovery phase. What you come out of as a discovery phase is two things. One, albeit robust, indicative view of, you know, time, cost, scope, technology. But the second thing you come out with is an acknowledgement that you're going to incrementally validate or calibrate the information that you came out of discovery with. It's very much around initiation and setting foundations, really.
So we're getting to the tail end of the show now, so I'm going to start asking some of the sort of the bigger questions. So for you, what's the future of Agile? You know, how could the principles of Agile extend across organizations?
Really, yeah. I mean, I'd go back to some of the comments that I made earlier. I think organizational awareness of the need to evolve structure is very big. I think we're going to start to see companies increasingly look to break down organizational silos. I mentioned earlier the notion of pods and squads. I think we're going to start to see an uptake of these principles, small, multidisciplinary, empowered teams who are able to take an idea or indeed innovate and are able to, you know, look at a path to market for delivering change for their customers. I think equally, future of Agile, you've said it there. I think it's not necessarily the confines of IT. We mentioned Agile Marketing and Agile HR earlier. I think, you know, they're two pathfinders. I think they're two early adopters, but I think we'll start to see the introduction of certainly lean principles and very early kind of build, measure, learn kind of principles that you're going to see more experimentation within businesses. But controlled experimentation. And I think we're certainly going to see a transition away from a more traditional project view into a product view. So customers, you know, we talked about, you know, the economic and market demands that are placed on businesses now. I think an internal view of projects is no longer going to sufficiently meet the need of a changing market. It's got to be an external looking out at your company, at your company, at customers, at your market, and actually delivering out delivering products and outcomes over projects.
So do you have some reading, listening, watching suggestions for any listeners who want more resources, certainly on implementing Agile methodologies into their business, and also anyone who's more interested in digital transformation? Have you got any sort of further reading resources you might be able to share with us?
Sure. I think there's one thing that I think is going to become increasingly into the mainstream is the concept of the Agile fluency model. It's been about for 7 years. First written back in 2012, and then there was a refresh done in 2018. And this really starts to look at the evolution of Agile within organizations. I think, from initiation around focusing a team through to really optimizing the performance of organizations within the context of organizational Agile transformation. I think that's well worth people looking at. I think, you know, people will always get value from reading books such as The Lean Startup by Eric Ries. The content's in there very much, you know, that's the basis of the lean mindset, lean thinking, you know, investing and testing. Certainly, I think organizations are going to do more of that, and I think people would spend time well in looking at those things.
Cool. And last but not least, if any listeners are interested in working with Answer Digital, where can they find you?
Geographically or physically, they can find us just outside Leeds City Centre. Digitally, importantly, they can find us at answerdigital.com, or equally, they can reach out to me at richard.ellis@answerdigital.com.
Lovely. Thanks for that today, Richard. That's been really fun. Any listeners who are listening, any sort of resources mentioned in the show, you'll find in our show notes. But yeah, that was a really great chat today. We did a bit of a deep dive into Agile and digital transformation. But thanks for coming on the show. It was really insightful.
Really appreciate it, Liam. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you too. See you again.
See you again.
Thank you for listening to this Venturi's Voice podcast. You can find links to any resources mentioned in the episode in the show notes on our website. If you enjoyed the show and want to hear more, you can find us on SoundCloud, iTunes and Spotify. We also have a Slack community, which you can join via the link on our homepage at venturi-group.com. Thanks for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you again.